best way to start your day.
Good morning.
Good morning, Westchester, with Dennis and Tommy. Weekday mornings from 6 to 9, right here on 1460 WVOX.
1460 WVOX.
They're playing basketball. We love that basketball. They're playing basketball.
Good evening! It's College Hoops Chat with Jim Maesano. So happy to be here tonight. Thank you for tuning in and thank you for being part of the show. We have a great guest tonight, Pat Kennedy, legendary Iona College coach, is calling in a couple of minutes. So I'm really looking forward to that because I remember being a young kid sitting in the stands at Iona College watching Pat Kennedy coach. So it's going to be really fun to hear him when he calls in. Speaking of Iona College, and speaking of St. John's, which I didn't speak of yet, but I'm going to speak of now, two teams, as you know from listening to this show, that I've been rooting for my entire life, going back to the 1970s. They're both in, well, Iona is in a COVID shutdown right now. When they come out is kind of debatable, hopefully in a few days. There's a little bit of debate going on in the league between whether Iona comes out in 10 or 14 days from their shutdown. Kind of a big bummer in my estimation. I was really excited about the progress of Iona College. They were getting better and better. And then on Saturday, I tune in to watch the St. John's Red Storm, all excited. They were playing DePaul, winnable game. Really looking forward to seeing St. John's back on the court. That game gets canceled. Now, I don't know the current status. I know they were doing retesting at St. John's, so they haven't formally, as far as I know, entered into a shutdown. But we'll find out soon, I guess, what's going on with the St. John's Red Storm. But I have to tell you, I'm really bummed out to have Iona in a shutdown and St. John's possibly in a shutdown because I also root for Buffalo where I went to law school. We've talked about them, Buffalo Bulls, here on the show. They're in a shutdown. I started college at St. Bonaventure. I root for them. They just came out of a shutdown. I'm like a jinx. My teams keep getting shut down. One team that I root for that hasn't had a shutdown yet. I don't know how they do it, but the University of North Carolina Tar Heels, interestingly, have not missed a game. They played their entire schedule as scheduled, which is kind of interesting because so many other schools at one time or another in the last 45 days has had to shut down, and it's very frustrating for fans. We're getting through this season slowly but surely, but a lot of teams are missing games, and it's going to be difficult for them to make them up because I'm not sure it's the greatest thing for a college kid to be playing 3-4 games a week. This is not the NBA. They're not professionals. They normally play about 2 games a week, college basketball students. So it's frustrating, but we'll see how this all plays out. Let's just hope as many people in America, from senior citizens to our first responders, to everyone else, can get the vaccine. And, of course, college basketball players can get the vaccine so they can have a normal season. All right, folks, I am so excited that our guest has called in. As I said before, as a teenager, I don't mean to make the guest feel old, but I was in the stands at Iona College rooting for the Iona Gales and being impressed with Coach Pat Kennedy. Welcome to the show, Pat.
Hey, great to be with you guys, and absolutely great idea to have this show for the fans of Iona and also the fans of Westchester. There's a great group of college enthusiasts there, and so it's great to be able to have a chance to share things with you.
Thanks, Pat. You know, it's a good point about Westchester County really being into college basketball. You know, I graduated from high school in 1981, right when you became the coach of Iona College after the famous Jimmy V. But, you know, a lot of kids my age, they went to colleges in the Big East or the MAC or the Atlantic 10, where some really, as you know better than anyone, some really strong basketball was being played in these Northeastern conferences. And we all came kind of home, a lot of us, and settled in places like Westchester. And they really do love college basketball.
Oh, absolutely. And also, you got to remember, we were in the hub of the development of the Big East. I mean, you know, Lou Carnesecca at St. John's, Dave Gavitt at Providence, Bill Raftery at Seton Hall. These were the people that started the Big East. A lot of fans will not realize that before the Big East was established, it was known as the ECAC, which is the East Coast Athletic Conference, which, by the way, still exists. But you had the Northern Group, a Central Group, and a Southern Group. So the Northern Group back then were all the Northern schools. It could be New Hampshire, Maine, Boston College, Providence, all the schools in the Northeast, the Central, St. John's, Fordham, Iona, Manhattan, Seton Hall. And the Southern were obviously the Philadelphia schools. So what changed all that was the establishment of the Big East. And that really had a huge effect on the eastern part of the country for college basketball. But yet, you know, for us at Iona, when I got there with Jim Valvano, we were still very excited to establish ourselves as, you know, like, and I know Rick Pitino's talked about now, as like a Gonzaga of the East. And if you go back to our records, you know, people are looking at the schedule now and wins they've had over the years. When we were there, we beat Ohio State, Arizona State, you know, UNLV, Georgia Tech. We had schedules that included North Carolina, Louisville. So when we were there coming with the Jim Valvano development programs, we felt we were a Gonzaga of the East back then, and certainly proved it with our records and ability to get to the NCAA tournament.
Well, you certainly proved it in that night back in 1980 when you beat Louisville at Madison Square Garden, something you probably remember every day of your life, right, Pat?
Oh, yeah, that was one of the greatest games I was ever involved with. Jim believed it. He saw it. He made our kids talk about the power of positive thinking, the old, you know, axioms from, you know, people that that really started believing in the power of positive thinking, Norman Vincent Peale. We would have some of our players read that book. And we went into the Garden, and they were ranked, I think, one or two in the country. We weren't even ranked. Jim had our kids convinced we were flat out going to beat them. And I'll never forget walking out of the pregame talk to the floor of the Garden, and I said, Coach, meaning Jim Valvano, great talk, but, Coach, you realize we're 18-point underdogs.
We
have no shot at beating Denny Crum in this team. And he put his arm around me and said, yeah, you wait and see, Patty. And he always dreamed about cutting down the nets. Now, you know, the interesting thing that happened there that night, we absolutely stunned college basketball. As big an upset as there ever was in the history of the game because of where we were ranked and how easily we beat them, thanks to Jeff Rulin. But Jim wanted to cut down the nets that night. And the Garden would not give him scissors to cut the nets down.
That's so interesting. Wow, what a great piece of great story. That's awesome, Pat. It's so interesting. Boy, Jimmy Valvano was something. Well, listen, I want to talk about Jimmy V, but let's just first make sure we introduce you properly to the listeners. Okay, Pat? You were assistant coach with Jimmy V at Iona, and then you became the head coach from 1980 to 1986. Then you went down to Florida State, 1986 to 1997. Followed by DePaul, 1997 to 2002, 2002 to 2004, Montana, 2004 to 2011, Townsend, and then 2013, 2015, back local here in Pace. You are one of those true basketball nomads. You've coached all over the country, Pat.
Yeah, interesting enough, people say it to me all the time. Some sports writers will say, you know, you did what you wanted to do, you coached. And you're one of the few guys in the history of the game that coached in all four regions of the country, which is true, and just enjoyed every single institution I was at. But we also, you know, we coached in eight NCAA and five NITs. And we're in a Sweet 16 and Final Eight in back-to-back years, which rarely happens. We lost to Michigan in the NIT finals, but Michigan had five ineligible players. We actually should have gotten the NIT trophy that year. And, hey, just had great kids and great coaching staffs. Always based my involvement with the game in terms of recruiting and networking to New York. And people, and I'll tell you what, you ask people, they say to me, Coach, you had all those years at Florida State. You won so many games. At Iona, we were 124-60, one of the highest percentages. And at DePaul, we turned DePaul back into a major power. That's how they got in the Big East, by the way. And they always say, where did you love coaching the most? And I always say, that's not even close, Iona.
Wow, very cool. So you were there when Jimmy V came on board and began building a program that knocked off Louisville at the Garden, made the NCAA tournament a bunch of times. You beat Holy Cross in the NCAA tournament. You were ranked in the top 25 of the nation. Even Sports Illustrated ranked you 1 year number 9 on the preseason poll. You were there at such an incredible moment in Iona College basketball history. What was that like?
Well, you know, the dream came from the then president, Brother Driscoll. He literally went out and recruited Jim Valvano from Bucknell to be the new head coach. He had a vision. Jim obviously supplemented and complemented that vision and went out to establish what he was going to establish. If Jim had ever stayed at Iona and not gone to NC State, he would have created a Gonzaga because kids were dying to play for him. They just wanted to come. I mean, we had the five best players in the entire area of Long Island. We had Jeff Rulin, Glenn Vickers, Kevin Hamilton, Alex Middleton, and Mike Palma. Those were five kids that in the past would have been at St. John's. And they were all at Iona because of Jim.
Sure.
So Jim created the vision that Brother Driscoll started with. My quest was when Jim left, it was a tough one because everyone says, oh, it's really going to be hard to follow Jim Valvano and you know, it's going to be hard for you to keep it going. But we were fortunate because we did keep it going. And in fact, you know, I'm not being egotistical, but some Iona fans still say Grimes, Burt, Hargrave, Springer, Truesdale, Coleman were really the best teams that ever played there. But I would say the Jeff Rulin teams are right there as well. And Timmy and Jeff had some good teams as well.
Sure, absolutely. Look, there's been one thing that Iona's done really well in its history is come up with great coaches. Great coach in Jim Valvano, great coach in yourself, Pat Kennedy. Tim Clouse was a terrific coach. Look, they had Kevin Willard, right, who's now doing some terrific work at Seton Hall and had a great – his final year in Iona was terrific. Really, Iona's had some really great coaching.
Oh, well, let me tell you something. Go back to Jim McDermott, who started it all, and Jim was actually very well celebrated in the New York City Catholic League.
Okay.
But like you just said, you go Jim Valvano, then you got Pat Kennedy, then you got Timmy Welsh, you got Jeff Rulin, you got – Timmy Clouse did an incredible job. And if you take a look at each of those careers when we were all there, we had some major league wins. And maybe if it wasn't a major league win, like when Jeff lost to LSU and Jacksonville in the first round of the NCAA tournament by one and they had the big kid, just some incredible performances beating North Carolina. Jeff beat North Carolina in a Garden. Can you imagine that?
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
An Iona College team coached by Jeff Rulin beat North Carolina in a Garden. So, hey, there was commitment from the university. President Seamus has made a continued commitment. The acquisition of Rick is like almost off the charts. It is so unbelievably special. But that all was put in place by the continuum of wanting basketball to be really, really good. And I support Rick 100%. I would love to see him take it to that next. You know, it's not just everyone says Gonzaga, St. Mary's,
sure.
You know, which wins like 25 games a year and they can be in a tournament as high as 8 or 9 seed, is exactly what Iona is. I think the new facility, Jim Hines, LaPenta, guys who've gotten behind the program should be very proud of themselves because you can make Iona a St. Mary's. Gonzaga, I don't know. That's a little bit of a stretch because they get so many NBA-level players. It's easier for them to get NBA players out there because not that many programs producing that level of kids. But I think Rick couldn't produce a St. Mary's, and that would be phenomenal.
I agree. So one question I have to ask, because I was a diehard Iona fan back in the day, and in that 79-80 season when you had that terrific team that did win first round of the NCAA tournament against Holy Cross, you know, the problem that season was I guess you didn't match up well with Georgetown, because I think they probably stopped you from going to the Elite Eight or even the Final Four. Is that something you believe, too?
Yeah. I mean, Georgetown was a great defensive team. And John Thompson, God rest his soul, was a great defensive coach. And so of all the teams we had played against, they were the ones that were most physical. Now, you remember now, we were good. You had Vickers at the point guard at 6'3", 180. Kevin Hamilton, a great shooter at the off guard at 6'3". Mike Palmer, 6'5". Alex Middleton was a monster at 6'7". And Jeff was 6'10", 280. But one of the only teams we ever played that could match our size and our strength and our speed and quickness was Georgetown. Yeah, and what happens, athleticism and ability always wins on levels of college athletics, period. I don't care if it's football, baseball, basketball. So we were right there. We were good enough to maybe beat them and get to the Final Four, but at the end of a 40-minute game, they won out.
Yeah, I think it was a 3-point win, I believe, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
I still remember that game, watching it in my house. Anyway, all right, well, it was great times. One last question on the old days before we get to the current days with Rick Pitino and the new Iona team. What was it like to coach with Jim Valvano?
Well, Jim was just a remarkable person. And I think that's what people are starting to realize over the years, or they have realized. You know, Jim was vivacious. He was funny. He was always the center of attraction. And quite frankly, that pissed some coaches off. You know, the older guys were not necessarily big Jim Valvano fans. Here's this young kid from Long Island, played at Rutgers, and he's funny. He's like an Al McGuire, and he's starting to have this incredible impact. So there's a lot of phoniness involved with Jim Valvano's life that goes back to a lot of coaches that were very much phonies about their relationship with Jim. Now they all want to claim that they had this great relationship with him.
Yeah. Interesting.
But Jim was wonderful to be with on a daily basis. Very motivating, very intellectual, made you think outside the box. And I learned more from Jim than anybody else I ever worked with.
Wow. And what about that night when he knocked off Houston and won the NCAA title with North Carolina State? What were you thinking that night?
Well, I spoke to Jim the night before, and we talked about some of his I was at home in Scarsdale with the birth of my first child, and we talked about his approach to the game. He had told everybody in the country, or the world for that matter, that he was going to hold the ball because Houston had the five slam a jamma. And that night he said, Pat, I'm going to have my pregame talk, and I'm going to tell my guys, you shoot the ball the second you're open. We're not going to hold the ball at all. So Jim had a philosophy of just faking out Houston. So Houston and Guy Lewis actually thought Iona was going to hold the ball. And if you go back and watch the tape, as soon as NC State got across half court and they're open, they fired away. And I think that just shocked Houston in terms of the potential game plan. And then Jim had great guards in Lowe and Wittenberg. When you have great guards, you can win anything in college basketball. So I wish I was physically there with Jim. Rich Petriccioni, former AD at Iona, and who Jim loved, was one of the few people that was in Jim's suite after that victory. And Richie's got some great stories as well.
Wow, that's great. All right, so what a perfect segue, Coach. You mentioned that you can do a lot on a great college basketball team with great guards. And that's kind of the case on the current Rick Pitino-led 5-3 Iona team. You have two senior guards, Asante Gist and Isaiah Ross, that are really showing leadership. They're taking a lead in critical moments in the game. And they've kind of helped will Iona to this 5-3 record. They won three in a row. I really felt so bummed at the shutdown, Coach, because I really felt like Iona was starting to turn the corner with this new team that Rick Pitino's put together, and now they're on another shutdown.
Yeah, but let me just say this. The Iona fans should be so thankful to the administration and to people like Mr. Jim Hines, who gives a lot of money to the school and built buildings, and LaPenta, who's built the business school. These people have invested their money and their time and their belief in Iona College. Rick Pitino there, you're going to win. And you're going to be really, really good. So these early years and these early developments of the team is more about the players understanding Rick's system and the way he's going to coach and the way he's going to teach and the way he's going to play. Plus, Rick knows you're only as good as your players. So he knows he's got to get better. And I love Gist. I think he's a terrific guard. Can score at any time. He's quick. He's strong. And they have a nice bunch of young kids. Who's the young big kid, Joseph? Is that the young?
Nelly Jr. Joseph. He's the freshman from Africa who really showing glimpses that he can be something.
Yeah, I can tell you right now, if I have a chance to coach that kid every day, I'd love to. That kid has a chance in that league and then to develop to another level to be really good. But Rick and Tommy Vandemarco and the great staff, Stanley, Coach Stanley, and the guys Rick's put together, they're going to get better players. That's not to downplay the guys who are currently there. But, you know, give Rick another, you know, 7 or 8 months, get his system in place. I haven't seen the new arena yet. I'm looking forward. I'm going to get a chance to go watch some practices after the virus is over with. But the new arena, campus is great, new president, Rick Pitino. I mean, Iona's off and running, and I think it's going to be exciting. And look at New Rochelle. My gosh, there can't be a city in the state of New York that's developed more than New Rochelle has developed with all the new development and housing, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm extremely happy for New Rochelle.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's an exciting time for Iona College. You know, they built a new business school, too. That's just magnificent. You know, you mentioned Nelly Jr. Joseph. You know, the story with him is that he was recruited, but he was in Africa. And he couldn't get to Iona because of everything going on with COVID and travel restriction. So he missed the beginning of practice. He's never played in the United States before. He shows up, like, literally a few weeks before the season starts. And here he is, Coach, averaging 12 points a game, 7.5 rebounds, a freshman with all those challenges of coming from another country and language issues and coming late and a COVID virus. I know you said you'd love to coach the kid. Boy, that's a great recruit for Iona.
It is. And I'm sure I don't know all the circumstances. I know that Tommy Vandemarco is one of the best recruiters in the country. I know the other younger guys that Rick hired are also terrific recruiters. And Rick, you know, come on, you got a guy that's got one of the best coaching eyes for talent in the game, in the history of the game, for that matter.
Sure.
I'm sure somebody brought this kid to Rick and say, Coach, you got to take a look at this kid, man. He's got a great body. He can get to the rim. He plays aggressively. He's an African kid. Doesn't really know the game. He's very raw. So I'm sure it went from assistant coach to watching the video to getting it to Rick. And Rick probably just said, guys, let's get him over here. I don't care how we got to do it. Let's get the kid over here. And again, he's a great recruit. And you know, great thing about youngsters like that, he's not necessarily enamored by Syracuse or Villanova. He's going to be a great Iona player, a great graduate of the school, and he's going to be very, very positive for that program.
That's a great point, Coach. It's really good stuff. Yeah, I was talking to one of the assistant coaches who told me that after Rick got the job, he worked like 24 hours a day for like 3 or 4 consecutive days and called everybody in America he knew and found, remember, he got the job in March after most of the recruits already signed up. He found out who was still left out there and kind of jumped into it and used every contact he had to pull together this roster that does have some nice talent.
Well, hey, who's not going to answer Rick's call, right?
Sure, sure.
So, I mean, so if Rick calls Jim Boeheim or Mike Krzyzewski or Roy Williams or Coach Izzo and says, hey, guys, this is what I'm trying to find. I'm not trying to recruit against you, but if there's any mid-majors out there that are still floating around, I would love to get a chance to really check them out and possibly recruit them. And you know, Rick's been through some scenarios which I think have been very unfair to him, and I just don't think they've been accurate or what they should have been. But Rick's handled it with grace. He's got a lot of great friends in this business, so I'm sure people stood up and say, Rick, here's a kid here, here's a kid there. That's why Rick was a great hire for Iona. All that other stuff that went on at Louisville and these other particular scenarios is not anywhere near accurate about who Rick Pitino is.
Sure. All right, Coach, we're coming up to the commercial break, so let me say a couple things. Number one, thank you so much. This was fantastic radio. I really appreciate you calling. And I want to let the listeners know that you've been very kind to agree to come on the first Monday of the next 2 months. We'll be able to talk more about some Iona College games when they get back on the court. So it's great that you're going to be part of the show. I'm honored to have you. And thanks for your time, Coach Kennedy.
Well, we love Iona. I wish Rick all the best. And we love New Rochelle. So great to be with you.
Thanks, Coach. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. All right, folks, we're going to the commercial break, and then we'll be right back on College Hoops Chat on WVOX.
WVOX. They're playing back. that basketball. They're playing basketball.
Okay, folks, it's Jim Maesano back on the radio with WVOX College Hoops Chat. What a great interview with Coach Pat Kennedy, legendary Iona College coach. So excited to have him on the radio, and he's going to be back two more times during the season, talk about college basketball. So it was a great interview, and I appreciate Coach Pat Kennedy being part of the show. Now I believe we have our number one caller, Kenny from Rye, on the line. Kenny, are you there?
I am, James. How are we doing?
What you think of that interesting call from our younger days as Iona prep students following Iona College basketball?
Yeah, well, I remember Pat very well, and in particular, not only at Iona, because it was the time that we all went to college, but in Florida State, he won a lot of games down there, and had a big career. It was interesting to realize that he had gone on to, which I forgot about, obviously being in the Big East, is he went on to DePaul, and Montana was some of an aberration, but then finished off at Pace. I did not know that, so he brought him all the way back, I guess you'd say full circle, to the Westchester area.
Here's some great numbers for you, Ken, about Coach Pat Kennedy. He won 67.4% of his games at Iona, and he won 61% of his games at Florida State. Those are some nice numbers, right?
No doubt, no doubt. Great career and great perspective on the game, and I guess in the world that we see today, you know, a true coach. He had no interest in doing anything else besides coaching basketball.
Absolutely. So, yeah, it was a great interview. He's going to come back two more times. It'll be fun to chat more with Coach Pat Kennedy, a great addition to the show. All right. I'm going to start with Kenny from Rye about my Saturday, and then we're going to talk about some other things. So I was excited for basketball on Saturday. I had planned to watch four games on Saturday because there were four different games with teams I follow. Was supposed to start out 12 noon, St. John's at DePaul, but it was canceled because of COVID issues. But I do want to make an announcement because it was unclear when I started the show. Even though St. John's had a potential COVID issue, it was a false negative test. So their resuming activities was announced today. I just checked on the internet. It was a false negative. So St. John's will be back on the court this week playing Xavier. So there's that, Ken.
Well, I mean, as it was, we mentioned, the shutdowns in general have been difficult to follow because of the fact is that they come up, they get changed, and it's not only the impact of what happens to that team, but obviously it's an impact on the teams that they're playing in the next 5 to 7 days, which is disappointing. And unfortunately, some of these schools that sent their kids home over the Christmas break have been the ones that have shut down. Villanova, St. John's has had the small problems, and there's been numerous others as well. So I hope now that they're back on campus, kind of recreate the bubble, we can get a more consistent schedule. Because as you say, college kids are used to playing a couple games a week, and going 5 or 10 days is just not great.
I agree. And the only way this is going to work, there's only one way we're going to get through this college basketball season, and that is having these kids as much as possible living in a de facto bubble on campus. It's the only way it's going to work.
Yep.
All right. So let me do a little bragging, Ken, because I did get to watch three games on Saturday, and the team I rooted for won all three games, which my wife is, I'm sure, listening. She calls me a jinx. I was not a jinx on Saturday. We started out with my son's school, the South Carolina Gamecocks, who had been off for a month with a double COVID shutdown. They played Florida A&M and won 78-71. A.J. Lawson went off with 25 points. And get this, Ken, because of COVID, they got back on the court, but with only had eight players available, four or five of the players were still in the protocol. But South Carolina, with only eight scholarship players, was able to get the win. Coming out of a COVID shutdown for a month, I don't care who they are playing, Ken, that was a good win.
Yeah, I mean, it's a solid win. I think the key is, as you mentioned here, is getting the kids back on the court and being able to practice. It's not just about the games going from game to game, but it's about being able to practice in between the games or on breaks that you have. And as you say, eight scholarship players playing Florida, and any win is a good win at that point.
Absolutely. All right, so game two on Saturday was I also root for the North Carolina Tar Heels, and they beat, although a team I do like, Notre Dame, they beat Notre Dame in an excellent game, 66-65 on Saturday. Dayron Sharp, a freshman, poured in 25 points, kind of pushed a very rugged group of big men for North Carolina to beat a good outside shooting Notre Dame team. They didn't have the people down low to compete with North Carolina. Good game, though. And then, Ken, the last game, which, as you know, I went to St. Bonaventure after we parted after high school. But St. Bonaventure got the big win because they went out and beat Richmond, who's excellent. 69-66 on the road, conference win. That's a great win for St. Bonaventure. And Jaron Holmes, you know, their fourth or fifth man, erupted for 17 points. Really helped pull the team across the finish line. Of course, Kyle Lofton, who's a terrific player, got 16. So I think you would agree that's a great win for St. Bonnie's and a good win for University of North Carolina as well.
Well, on UNC, it's kind of interesting from a perspective of they've kind of struggled, and obviously a team loaded with four- and five-star recruits. You know, they're in this new net rating that the NCAA has put out. They're at 64, which is kind of interesting.
Wow.
Now, they haven't had any great wins yet, but I would say that the loss to Georgia Tech and then the close win to ND doesn't help them. But I think, obviously, when things start to warm up and become more regular for them, if you want to say, I think we're going to see those ratings climb quickly. The Bonnie situation is so unusual. We talked about it last week and weeks prior to that. They've been basically shut down until recently and had few opportunities to play and or practice. Tough loss to URI, but a great win against Richmond. I mean, people had Richmond in the top 20, you know, over the course of the last couple of weeks. So it was a real shock for them and a great boost for the program.
I agree. Good win for the Bonnies. And one thing about North Carolina, remember, they're starting at shooting guard and point guard, and then the first one off the bench as well, all freshmen. There are three guards logging the most time in the backcourt are freshmen. You and I know that's not a great recipe for success in college basketball. You need some older players in the backcourt. So that's going to take a while for North Carolina, as you indicated.
Yeah, exactly. And who knows how many times they practiced this prior to the season or during the season. I can't remember if UNC was shut down. But when you're incorporating that many players, somewhat like Kentucky and somewhat like these quote-unquote kind of one-and-done programs, they expect a certain amount of time, and that time comes in the summer as well as the early fall, and they're, you know, a full month before they practice. They have not had that. So they're going to have to do this on the fly, and that may change things and open the door for many people in come March.
And a little Westchester note, one of the two starting guards, the point guard for North Carolina, is R.J. Davis, who went to Stepanak. Now, Kenny Nixon and I, we both went to Iona Prep, and we used to go to the Stepanak-Iona high school basketball games when we were allowed to go to games. And we saw R.J. Davis play for Stepanak. He was a terrific high school player, and now he's starting for North Carolina. How about that?
Yeah, I saw him play last year when Iona played Stepanak at Iona College. And it was interesting because I think one of the things was you could see the talent was there. He had a tough night. I think he probably put too much on the back of his shoulders. Iona kind of came away with a great win, a kind of a team win. But he was clearly the best player on the court.
Yeah, he's really good. All right, so there was some big wins this weekend we're going to talk about. Some kind of surprising. Now, one win, I just got to boast that some of my teams won. Unfortunately, one of the big wins was against your son's college, Northwestern. You had Michigan just roll over poor Northwestern, who've been playing so well. 85-66, a freshman led Michigan. He's leading them in every game. A 7-foot-1 center scored 19 points. Hunter Dickinson, you probably watched that one, Ken. What do you got to say?
I did. I watched the whole game, and I tell you, Michigan looks tough. I mean, we know they can recruit. They knew Juwan Howard could do so, but if you look at the staff he put together, and I don't know who told him to do so, but he has an associate head coach in Phil Martinelli, who's from St. Joe's, who was let go, and St. Joe's has done nothing but lose since he left. He is a great college coach.
Yes.
And Juwan Howard can obviously spin it as is a former college star as well as a pro star. Michigan is easy to recruit from, so they are loaded up again. I think you're going to expect big things from this year. They're undefeated so far. And as you mentioned, this 7-footer, Dickinson, he's leading the team in scoring and rebounding. And he can do it all. He can shoot from the outside, plays traditional inside. I haven't seen a 7-footer like him in a long time. And Northwestern, as we know, is a good team. So that was a really, really good win for Michigan and kind of put their stamp on, again, as we've discussed, how strong the Big Ten is.
All right. So the second game that was, I have to tell you, I didn't see the game. I only watched the recap and I watched some of the highlights. But I have to tell you, I was shocked that Texas went on the road, play at Kansas, and then blow them off the court, 84-59. I haven't seen Texas play yet, but I hear Courtney Ramey's a terrific guard. Have you got to see Texas yet?
I saw a lot of the highlights and read a lot about them from a perspective of they are doing somewhat as expected from a perspective of people knew they were good. How good was the question? And obviously, if they get caught in shutdowns, that has not been the case. They've had some other good wins against Indiana that people think is a lot more talented. They beat UNC. They beat Oklahoma State. And on Saturday, they had five players in double figures against Kansas. And that was, at that time, Kansas was the quote-unquote number four team in the country. A lot of people want to put Texas as number one.
Right, absolutely. All right, so Ken, here's what we're going to do. Because I want to see Baylor play because they're number two in the nation. I hear they're great. When Baylor plays Texas, we're going to have to watch the game together by Zoom, okay?
Yeah, that's definite. And I think one of the issues is there, which is probably good for college basketball, they don't play them till February.
Right.
So, again, you know, that's on no schedule, you know, juggling at this point. But right now, as the schedule shows, it's not till early February. So they're going to have a little bit of, you know, some games under their belt by that point in time. So we'll have to see how it goes. But Baylor is an interesting team. I mean, everybody loves them. We'll have to see how it goes.
Yeah, I want to see Baylor too. All right. So also, the other game we were going to chat about, obviously St. Bonaventure Richmond 69-66 was a great game. But the game everybody's saying was the best game of the weekend was Rutgers Iowa. Iowa pulled out a gut-wrenching 77-75. Rutgers played well again. That was a great college basketball game.
I mean, it was probably the best game of the year so far. I mean, from a perspective of both teams ranked in the top 20, the Big Ten, as we've discussed, is a great league this year with real strong teams, a lot of mature backcourts, a lot of mature players. Garza at Iowa is clearly, you know, in the running for player of the year. Rutgers lost this game at the free throw line. Iowa shot 78%, Rutgers shot 33%. So you can see right there, with Rutgers having a chance to win this on a runner at the end, it was all done at the free throw line. So, as I say, looking at the rankings from the net rankings again, Rutgers at 17, Iowa's at 7. Big Ten looks real, real tough early on here.
They do. And one other game that you and I had thought was a really good game, well, we're talking about a good team. I believe they're 8-1. They beat a good SMU team, was Houston. Uh-oh, there's the music. We'll have to talk about the Houston Cougars another time, Kenny from Rye.
We'll get the AAC next time around, James.
We will. All right, Kenny, great information. Great chat with you. We'll have to watch a game soon by Zoom. Thank you for calling in, and we'll talk to you next week as well.
All right, James. Thanks.
Thanks so much. All right, that's Kenny from Rye, our number one caller. We're going to a commercial break. Open line after the break, 914-636-0110, 914-636-0110. Call us. Tell me what you think about what's going on in college basketball. I'm Jim Massano, and we'll be right back after the commercial break. All right, folks, we're back on College Hoops Chat. I'm Jim Massano, the host of this weekly radio show that's dedicated to chatting about the great sport of college basketball. So we really appreciate our first two calls. Of course, former Iona coach Pat Kennedy did a great job to start off the show. I really appreciate him taking the time to call us. And Kenny from Rye, our number one caller who calls every week, my high school friend who I chatted about college basketball with a long time ago in high school, and here we are doing it on the show today. It's a lot of fun. If you'd like to call us, we have open line 914-636-0110. That's 914-636-0110. Give us a call and tell us what you think about the hot issues in college basketball. Locally, of course, as I said before, we're waiting for Iona College to come out of the shutdown so that they can get back on the court and play some games. I'm going to say it's a bummer. It's a bummer that Iona College got its second shutdown when we were seeing growth and improvement of a team that already had been shut down once and missed a lot of practice time. But all I saw on the court was Iona getting better every game, and I'm really looking forward to Iona to come out of the shutdown. Although it is good news, the other local story, St. John's, which didn't play Saturday against DePaul in a game that was scheduled. They're not shut down. St. John's will be playing again against Xavier this week. It was a false positive test, thank God, and we'll get St. John's back on the court. And they're fun to watch. I don't know if you watch St. John's basketball, but they're very well coached. Mike Anderson is a terrific coach. He has a unique style of play. The old Nolan Richardson, Arkansas, 40 minutes of hell, full court press, pressure defense. Coach Anderson has brought that to St. John's, and they're fun to watch. And they play hard. They force turnovers. They get some breakaways for dunks. It's fun to watch St. John's, and you should tune in if you can. All right. So also we have a very interesting team is that Michigan team. Kenny from Rye was getting into a little bit about kind of a brilliant decision to hire Phil Martelli to be the assistant coach, who was a great coach for a long time at St. Joe's in Philadelphia. Now, you know, it was a great decision to bring him in as assistant coach, and it's certainly mattering to this young Michigan team. All right, we have a call. Good evening.
Hey, Jimmy.
Hey, what's up?
Hey there, it's Roland.
Hey, what's up? How's it going?
Well, I was calling to see how you feel about, you know, Ohio State. They've got a fantastic football team, pulled out a big surprise. Do you think they can do the same with basketball?
So this is Roland from New Rochelle.
That is correct.
Who has a son at the great University of Ohio State, and he's become an enormous Ohio State fan, including texting me this weekend as Ohio State was blowing Clemson off the field. And as a South Carolina fan, I must tell you, we're bowing down to the Ohio State Buckeyes for taking care of Clemson. Thank you very much, Roland.
And thanks for rooting for them.
You got it. And I'll be rooting for you in the finals as well. So go Buckeyes. No, they got a good basketball team. You know, they're very solid. They've had a very competitive schedule early on. Ohio State did not go easy on the early season schedule. They're playing tough teams. The one issue for Ohio State is this. They're a very good team in a great conference. The Big Ten is the best college basketball conference right now, and it's pretty clear. Most analysts who have taken a look at the Power Six conferences in college basketball pretty much all agree the Big Ten is the best. So the problem for Ohio State is they're very good, but every single game is going to be a battle for them. They're going to win some, they're going to lose some, but they're probably an NCAA tournament team, and they're a team that can make some noise in the NCAA tournament, but they just have to get through a very rugged schedule in the Big Ten.
That'll be a lot of fun to see. Yeah, they've got Penn State coming up.
Yes, and that's a winnable game for them. And look, they're at the top end of the Big Ten, don't get me wrong, but you know, we just talked about Michigan, your rival. They're unbeaten and they're awesome. You know, they got a great team. You know, also you got Michigan State, who's always good. And they started a little slow, but they're playing better. And you got Tom Izzo, one of the greatest coaches in the land. You have Northwestern playing very well, Illinois playing very well. You know, and Rutgers here, our neighbor next state, they got a terrific basketball team. So every single game for Ohio State, it's a game they unfortunately could probably lose only because the conference is so good.
It's going to be very watchable these coming days.
Yeah, all the games will be great. You know, you got a lot. This is a great time to have a son at Ohio State because their football team is great. The basketball team is very good. Not bad, Roland. Your son chose well.
If only they could attend some of the games in person. But
I know, what a bummer, right? I mean, you're right. So your son goes to
Ohio
State.
But even when they could, they didn't necessarily go.
I know. So they only had six football games, now seven with the Clemson game. Your son's out of school, one of the most exciting football teams in the nation, in the middle of a pandemic. You can't make this up, Roland.
No, I know. We'll get through it, though. Jimmy, loving your show.
Thank you so much. Thanks for the call, Roland, and look forward to the Buckeyes being the national champions in football.
Yeah, go Bucks.
Go Bucks. All right,
later,
Roland.
Jim.
Thanks for the call. Thanks so much. Appreciate it. All right, thank you from Roland from New Rochelle, personal friend, who is certainly enjoying having his son at Ohio State and rooting for that great sports program. Ohio State is one of those schools across the board. They're really good at a lot of sports. That's a great athletic program, and like I said, not a bad time to attend Ohio State University and root for the Buckeyes. All right, so the phone number here is 914-636-0110. We certainly have time for another call. If somebody wants to give us a call, 636-0110. Appreciate the call from Roland as well. And, you know, I was just getting into Michigan, you know, so Roland, of course, brings up Ohio State. You know, Michigan, I think, has really shocked college basketball. Brand new coach, Juwan Howard, who's one of their all-time great players. He was on the Fab Five. Just a terrific time for Michigan basketball when they had all the freshman starters just playing amazing. And he went on to the NBA. He came back home. And if you saw his press conference when he took the job, Juwan Howard at Michigan, I mean, he was in tears. And it wasn't fake. It was real, real emotion to come back home to a school he loved. And here he is taking his team to 9-0 with a big win against Northwestern. And, you know, they're really impressive. You got to turn on a game and watch Michigan in college basketball. And boy, did everything break right for them, right? They take a little bit of risk and hire Juwan Howard, a great player who never coached before. But again, I just want to point out what Kenny said. I want to reiterate. He went and hired Phil Martelli, who is a great coach at St. Joseph's, a basketball lifer, a guy who knows the game inside. So if you're a guy like Juwan Howard who's going to recruit great because of who you are, former Fab Five superstar with Michigan and an NBA player, and all the contacts he has, he's going to recruit great. But for him to be mature and smart enough as a coach to bring in Phil Martelli just shows you how great a coach Juwan Howard is. He brought a guy in who was going to make the team better. And I'm sure Phil Martelli runs some of the practices because he's a basketball lifer. And it makes sense. So a lot of really good stuff going on at Michigan, and that's a team to watch. I'm certainly watching Michigan and look forward to catching a couple of their games soon. And I think we have a call coming in, so let's go to the phone line. Good evening.
Hey, Jim, it's John from Croton. How you doing?
Hello, John from Croton. How you doing tonight?
All right, how's everything going? Great show.
Oh,
great,
thanks.
Really interesting stuff tonight.
Yeah, it's really fun show. So what's your issue for tonight?
I just wanted to do a shout-out for a couple of things. I had been looking through and read a recent review on the John Thompson book and learning a lot of things about him. Didn't realize he was an NBA player for a couple of years there and played behind Bill Russell. So he had some game himself, never mind being a great coach and starting a great program there at Georgetown.
Sure. You're talking about a basketball lifer, right? Outside of playing for Providence in college when they were great, Providence had some great teams when he was there. And then played with the Celtics. Outside of that, he's his whole life in D.C., grew up in D.C., came back home after the pros to coach a high school team in D.C., then gets the Georgetown job and just basically does one of the all-time great historic jobs of taking Georgetown from kind of a mediocre small basketball team and makes them literally a national power, wins a national championship, goes to a bunch of Final Fours. One of the all-time great coaching jobs by John Thompson. And it wasn't easy. He had to deal with racism. He had to deal with a lot of stuff that he shouldn't have had to deal with. But all he did was coach great, right? All he did was prove everyone that on the floor he was going to do a job where he would take young men, mold them into a great team. And regardless of what you said about him, he was going to beat you and he was going to be better than you. What a great historic figure John Thompson at Georgetown.
Yeah, really. He really did, as you said, melded a team, put them together, put them, and then when they got out on the floor, they played together, and he had, you know, some great players go through that program.
Yeah, I would say in my life of watching college basketball, one of the greatest defensive college basketball teams was particularly in the early years, the John Thompson Georgetown teams in the 80s. Their defense was tremendous. The only problem, though, John, was going back to the beginning part of the show with Jim Valvano and Pat Kennedy coaching Iona, it was Georgetown that knocked him out of the NCAA tournament in 1980. I still don't feel so great about that.
Yeah, absolutely. That unfortunately, that's a lasting memory.
Yeah, lasting memory. All right, John, you have the last word. Thanks for bringing up the great coach, John Thompson from Georgetown.
Thanks, Jim. Take care.
Thanks so much. All right, folks, that's it. That's all we have for today. Great show. I really had fun. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for calling in. We'll be back next Monday on College Hoops Chat. Have a great week, everybody. And by the way, Happy New Year.